ಜನಶಲಾಕಯಾ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋವಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಗದಾತೀಶ ಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಜುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗನ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಂ ಸಹಗನ ಲಲಿತ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನೀತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೇ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಸುನ್ನವಾಣಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶಕಾರಿಣಿ ವಂಶಕಲ್ಪತರುವೇಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಂ ಪಾವನ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ. Let me ask you a question. Do you like to know how we are possessed by Maya, or you like to know how we get out of Maya? Which one? Huh? Get out of Maya. Okay. Then we'll go to that route. When trouble comes in our life, if it disturbs your devotional service, then you can pray. But if it is disturbing your uncomfortable place, that prayer should not be considered pure. But if it stops you, say something terrible happened that you cannot even focus to chant, you cannot even focus to think of Krishna, then you can pray to the Lord, I'm so disturbed by this incident happening. Or somebody said something, please help me Prabhu, or please don't give me this kind of disturbance, I cannot think of you, I'm very fallen and I'm very incapable, very vulnerable. So those prayers can be included as a part of bhakti. Generally, part of bhakti means we say we don't want to pray for ourselves. But if something that disturbs our devotional practice, say you got such a disturbance that you cannot even chant or you don't feel like to go to temple, then you can pray, my Lord, this is very disturbing, I cannot. Please help me, please don't send me this. You follow? But if you say, oh, this guy said something, you know, I was nice, but he's trying to make me, then that is not part of it. It's very fine line. So here, question comes. Question asked, please tell me how living entity become free from the clutches of Maya. Very nice question. So then, answer is given here. Jada brahmanam brahmam hari rasa galada vaishnava janam kadachit sampascham तद अनुगम्ये साधुरुचि जूतः तदा कृष्णा अवृत्ता तेजति सनके मायिक दशान स्वरूपम विभ्रानो विमल रस भोगम सकृते. When in the course of wandering amongst the highest and lowest species in the material world, a living entity is able to behold a Vaishnava absorbed in the flowing transcendental mellow of Krishna consciousness, a taste arises in his heart for following the Vaishnava way of life. So we have to be attracted to some Vaishnava. Those Vaishnava, those are very advanced and they're tasting Krishna consciousness, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says our true nature is to relish the true nature of pure bhakti and simultaneously protect ourselves from those dangers like impersonalism, sentimentalism, mental speculation, sahajiyas, all this. So we have to do both. We have to relish Krishna consciousness, because there has to be some impetus to take us to spiritual path. And the impetus has to come from a genuine, tangible, accessible, which will last forever. Then you can go on. Jiva anisa rupena. Jiva anisa rupena, also the verse says that living entity, us, we are always under another energy. We are not independent. We are energy of Krishna, but we are not independent by our own as energy. We are always under another energy of Krishna. Either under we are material energy or spiritual energy. We cannot be by our own. If we say we don't care material nature, we get out of the material nature, and then we'll be under no energy. We'll just exist by ourselves. Even in merging in Brahman, no soul, living entity, can never be alone by his own right. Jiva anisha rupena. Prabhupada put this line, that always under another energy. And then when it's conditional life, he's looking, or that soul is looking for own pleasure. Pleasure seeking by nature. It is a fact. Pleasure seeking by nature. In Golok Vrindavan, the devotees are not looking for happiness. They are always looking to please Krishna, and the serving Krishna automatically has a pleasure unlimited. So, like an example is like, if you are given, invited by devotees every day for breakfast, and they give you 10, 12 types of breakfast, how often you will be looking for breakfast? Never. Because always you're getting so much breakfast. So similarly, in Golok Vrindavan, the devotional service is number... Thank you. The always looking for spiritual devotional service, and the happiness that they draw, they never look for, nobody even talk in Vrindavan that they need some happiness. It's a very phenomenon. In the material world, I mean, we have to be honest. If we are honest, we'll see that we are not happy all the time. We feel lonely. Loneliness is the biggest disease in this material world. And the lust is another disease. Heart disease. Bhagavatam says, kama rida roga aso apahanati achirena dhira. Heart disease, it's worse than heart attack or material heart attack, because heart disease continues life after life until it is purified. Yes, ma'am.
Why is that loneliness? Why is
that? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains in Brahman Vaishnav book, that one page section, he says the moment, whenever it is, jiva choose not to serve, in a sense that constitutionally always we are servant, that cannot be changed. But still there is a free will. So the moment jiva choose not to serve, be in the material nature, allure activities of maya, that apathy to devotional service was the root cause of loneliness. And later on, when the maya covered him with false ego, three types of false ego, sattvic false ego, rajasic, tamasic false ego, then the mind created a wall in the heart between the soul and Krishna. And in that surrounded boundary wall, it's like a four wall in a room, and soul is trapped. And in that position, right now, like, we are not this body, so the soul is actually trapped in the mind. And there is a big wall, Bhagavatam says, big wall between the Krishna and the soul. And this wall has to cut down by the knowledge, by the acts of knowledge. And Prabhupada give a logic that it has to be also sharpened acts. And one has to know how to handle the acts. These are called skills. Skills. How to, only chanting is not enough. Consciousness, why I'm chanting, what the chanting supposed to do, the chanting, the holy name, Naam is more important than the mantra, because Naam is actually everything in the mantra. If you take out the name, the mantra has no value, no power. So they have to think those, like Radha Krishna is fully present in the mantra. So Mahamantra, yes, because Radha Krishna fully present, but if we are not consciously aware of the Radha Krishna, then mantra is not effective. So like this, when that awareness fully awakened, that cuts down that wall. And then he will see actually he is always with Krishna. That loneliness will disappear once for all. But until that point, it is not possible to replace by psychological counseling or by drug medicine. They're diverting. They're diverting. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, actually, there is a verse in 10th Canto, 51 chapter. Varan Vrinita Rajar Se Sarvan Kaman Dadamite Mam Prasanna Jana Kaschit Na Arhati Sochitam. This is Krishna himself speaking to the Muchukunda, 51 chapter. After Kaljavana got killed and everything, and he was depressed because his whole idea was that when he opened his eye, he will see the Lord. But he's deprived, so he's crying. But then Lord was hiding in the back. He came out. You know, Lord put his chador on this Muchukunda's body, and Kaljavana was yelling. And it was beautiful. After that, Lord appeared, and then he was very happy, and then they had a lot of dialogues between them. And this is another thing. I'm just going to state this and then come back to the story. Why Muchukunda, after 4 million years sleeping, he saw the Lord, and Lord is performing Leela in Mathura, Dwarka at that time, because this is in Mathura area where Muchukunda's cave was there. Still, Lord sent him to Badrikashram. And Sanatana Goswami Pad writes that because Muchukunda thought by sleeping he will get Krishna. Well, by the mercy of the demigod, yes, he got, by the mercy of devotee, he got. But without sadhana, he cannot fit in the Leela and he cannot enter into spiritual world, even though he met Krishna. So Lord sent him to Badrikashram to do austerity, more tapasya and more purity. But he already met the Lord. What more tapasya you need? If you are face to face with the Lord and Lord is giving you blessing, what more you need? But Sanatana Goswami Pad said, then why did Krishna told him, you go to Badrikashram and do some austerity and purification. Why? Because he did not do any austerity except sleeping. Sleeping is not austerity. But he had a logic that he didn't want to see anything. It's a good logic, nothing wrong. But it was very interesting. Sanatana Goswami said, therefore, if any devotee thinks, I don't have to do practicing every day chanting, I don't have to practice every day Krishna consciousness, I'll just do at the end of my life. It's not going to happen. You have to come back to keep on doing it. So it's better to do now every day as Prabhupada suggested, and guarantee there will be an ultimate goal attained. So loneliness, in that verse it says that three way loneliness is being diverted from the soul's experiencing. He says the first thing is, everybody, this is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, people feel loneliness all the time. But to divert them from the real disease, they are diverted by this, you know, material facility. Material facility is bad in that sense, that the real need is not supplied. It's being diverted, oh, you should go there, do this, buy a new car or something. Something they are diverted by. Fascination of this world. It's not that they are bad, it doesn't do the purpose what the soul is looking for. That's why it is bad. It's just simply wasting time. And each of us will come to that point. It is simply wasting of time. But it is not easy to convince somebody. You know, everybody is hungry for pure love, but hungerness is not of the stomach, hungerness of the heart. But it's very interestingly, if you look at Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur poem, that he said that even they are starving for this pure love, but when you present them Krishna consciousness, they say, no, this is not what we're looking for. So the biggest challenge is that you go and feed them, you want to feed the genuine food, but they say, no, this is not what I want. I want mundane things. And that was the biggest challenge, he said, in this material Maya's world. Maya is seeking, polluted them so much, that actually every devotee could become a pure devotee instantly and deliver others. But Maya is trapping, diverting them. So this is one thing. Another thing, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that if you have some expectation in life and you are desiring something, when it is not met, you become another depression. So this is another depression comes. But the real loneliness is the greatest depression. Nobody talks about it except the devotee. So he made that point, that verse Krishna is speaking to Muchukunda. He says, every soul has to meet me first time. The moment I meet that particular devotee, I remove his lamentation forever. I remove his illusion, which is presence, forever. And fear for future also I remove. And lamentation for past I remove. The first darshan of the first, installment, you can say. First installment of Krishna consciousness, you get that these three things has to disappear as we are progressing. That Jnana Vairagya is the prime that we get our relationship with the Lord more and more. And detach the relationship causing us feeling separation, and from that separation causing us detachment. It's not that we are trying to be detached. It's automatically byproduct of the attachment to Krishna consciousness. So if somebody is actually really contributing self, trying to give self to Krishna, to the holy name. It's not easy, it's very difficult, because the holy name is so subtle of the subtle. And I think I'm a physical, you know. Even though I know I'm not this body, but I think that's who I am. And the most physical gross, trying to surrender to the most subtle, is very difficult. Very difficult. If it was like, you know, something physical, you could easily approach. But when you say Hare Krishna, that's it, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Where? Hare Krishna. Where? You know, that conception is like a physical approach. So that's why he says the service attitude and surrendering attitude has to be there. Otherwise, holy name cannot produce tangible result in the devotee's heart. Yeah. Yeah. How she is wrong? She is not wrong. She is never wrong. Mayadevi is never wrong. Mayadevi is a pure devotee. She is never wrong. When Prabhupada went for a morning walk in Vrindavan, one Brajavasi was inviting him. On the third day, this Brajavasi was very heavy. No, Maharaj, you are always telling me to come, but you are not coming. Today you must come. So then Prabhupada went with the disciples. There's a big Mayadevi, Durga Devi's big deity made of, you know, straw and mud they make in India. So Prabhupada immediately paid obeisances. Prabhupada said, oh, she is a very, one of the best devotees of Krishna. But we don't go too close to her. From far we pay obeisances, we don't want to be under her. But she is serving Krishna very nicely. She is a very good devotee. There is nothing wrong she is doing. She is doing everything 100% perfect. The wrong is the perception. And the point is very important that if a child wants to touch fire, Prabhupada gives that example in 73 in LA. If a child wants to touch the fire and the child does not know, and even if you explain the child, this baby cannot understand that this is dangerous. This is what the brain of the baby. Somebody was arguing other day, said, well, the soul didn't know the material nature is so dangerous, so he would never come to material nature. So that logic doesn't apply. If there is a child, 1.5 years old, attracted to the fire, how are you going to explain this danger, danger? They don't know what danger is. Just learning, you know. Not even speaking yet. So 1 year old, what can you do? You just, sometimes by the experience they learn. Like they get hurt and then they cry. So by experience they're learning. Otherwise by hearing, not enough yet. So when the child is trying to touch the fire and a mother comes, you say, I told you not to. Then pull the baby away. Then mother goes to the kitchen and cooking, the child again sneakily going there. So the child has a sneaky brain. It's not that the child doesn't have a tendency to exploit Maya. The soul has this. So when it's going nearby, when the mother comes, it's almost touched, then mother give a little slap out of affection, protection, not like a hurt in the child, to give a lesson. That's how you learn. Like Prabhupada put the finger of his son in the fan, but he turned off the switch before, he didn't see that. But still he put the finger and he got hurt. He knew that it won't damage too much, but it was hurting. So it was like, ah. Oh. So like that. So Maya gives slap like this. So we think, oh, Maya is very harsh, Maya is so tough. Maya is not tough, she's doing her job. Yes, ma'am.
There's a beautiful verse in the Brahma Sutta.
Poking.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
But Prabhuji, then when it comes to distress, sometimes when devotee is opposite to, you know, then Maya is actually coming from the primitive, right?
Maya is doing her job, but we have also free independence, minute independence. So we cannot blame her for our suffering. This was the, we are going to discuss today, that we cannot blame anybody actually for my own suffering. I give you an example Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur gave, you probably heard that example. That one person, he got caught of stealing. Then the king, he was brought in front of the king. So the king, as a judge, he said, okay, you have 3 options. You eat 50 kilo ghee, hot ghee, or 50 years in jail. The person is already 50 years, you'll be dead, you know, in the jail. Or 50 whips on your body. Choice is yours. So you can say, oh, that is a free choice. But what that soul is thinking, I don't want whip, I'll have jail, I'll never get out. Ghee, wow, that's very good. But he's not calculating properly. The ghee is like a sattagun, you know, goodness. It's still maya sattagun. It's not really what soul is looking for. So, Hare Krishna. So, sattagun, he got the 50 kilo ghee. But do you know 50 kilo ghee? How much? How much can you drink? You ever try hot ghee? 200 grams, not even 1 kilo. So they open his mouth and they pour 5 kilo ghee, but after 1 kilo, he's like, throwing up, he's really feeling sick. But they will not stop because it's 50 kilo he has to take, not 1 kilo. So they're forcing, then he started throwing up and he's feeling very sick. He said, well, you lost the chance, now you have a two choice, which one you want? 50 years jail or 50 whips? I'll just take the whips, I can live whole life in jail. So you get the 50 whips. After 5 whips, I can't. It's like a muscle is separating from the body. So, well, you have only one thing left. So you go to 50 years jail. Now if you look at the logic, this Sattagun was the ghee, and Rajagun was the whip, and the jail means stuck, it's Tamagun. Who choose? It's him, the soul. So we cannot blame the king has punished him so much. No, king gave him a choice. He could have taken shelter of some great advance or minister or someone to redirect him to get out of it. But his brain did not work, so he suffered. We suffer because of our own misdeed, own misuse of free will. Not actually anybody's causing us. So we are fortunate that we came to shelter of Prabhupada, and we should gather with the power of bhakti as much possible, as quick. Two things depend in our spiritual path. How pure my desire is and how intense my desire is. In order to see the advancement, these two things has to be there. How pure the desire? I want to just hang around, enjoy, also sometime I'll chant. Then the result also sometime good, sometime not good. Like this. Because the desire is not pure. And intensity is not there at all. And those who are intense, they are actually getting success. They are feeling that experience of Krishna consciousness. And there's nothing wrong. So it depends, ultimately it depends on us too. We cannot blame Maya or anybody. It makes sense? Like Mother Nanda was saying, this morning in the class, she forgot something and she was trying to blame somebody, and then later on said, oh. I mean, I did that too. You know, I put my key within the pant pocket, there's a small pocket, you know, tiny pocket. And there's a key, I left it there, and I was looking whole day for the key. Finally, in the evening, you know, when I shake the pant, you know, to hang it, there's a key fell, and I hated it. I said, why? Where is it coming from? But I did it. Who should I blame? I'm laughing now. I was not happy that time. I was really upset. Because I don't know where the key is. You know, I had to hire somebody for $50 to open the key. So, this forgetfulness is also a product of Maya, you can say. Krishna used Maya to give us forgetfulness. But it is, I choose. Ultimately, we are contingent doer. We are not only doer, we are contingent doer. Contingent doer in a sense that we desire. In 18th chapter, text 14, Krishna says, if somebody don't consider five factors, he is not intelligent. Adhisthana tatha karta karanam cha pithaka vidam vividascha pithaka chesta daivyam iti panchama. And Srila Prabhupada translates that these five factors. Example is given, like you shape a piece of wood. You take a hammer, you take a chisel, and you use your hand, so you shape the wood. So living entity is like a wood. And how is being shaped where we are in this world? The Maya, the modes of nature, it's also hard product. then the dead matter, the time, kala, then there is a karma, then all these factors, and then Paramatma sanction, the number one, number five. So if somebody, if the wood say, well, who shaped me to this? Hand say, oh, I did it. Hammer will say, no, it was me who hit the, and the chisel say, doesn't matter, you hit it. But if I was not there, your hitting would not shape it. So individually, chisel can claim, hammer can claim, hand can claim, whatever the desire of the person who wanted to shape. All this is a factor. This five factor, Krishna says, this five factor makes one person intelligent. And if we should take like this, that it is, but why then our or I should be blamed number one? Because I am the contingent doer, I desire. Then the Maya give the facility. So when Maya give the facility, Maya cannot be blamed for it. Because that's what she is for. But somebody may say, well, I didn't know this will turn into this. Well, you should have known. you cannot drink poison and say, why I'm dead? Sorry, that's what poison does. And if I didn't inquire, you cannot blame for it. It makes sense. So this way we cannot blame anybody, any Maya or anybody. Krishna has no blame. He's not an autocrat, dictator. He is the most loving, but he doesn't want to force you. Beginningless, you mean?
Ignorance. We never chose, we never desired. We were born with it, the imprinted with it.
You can say both ways. Now, if you say, I didn't know the poison will kill me, I drink the poison and it killed me. So, would you say that it was the poison who killed me or poison, I took the poison? Which one is right? I mean, both are. How, what do you mean we're born with it?
There was no point in time where we actually chose that.
Yes, there is. There is. You cannot say that constitutional structure of the soul has anything to do with Maya. Nothing. Zero. Constitutional structure. Structure is very important. Because Krishna is the source of all energy. But each energy has a structure. And each structure, ghatan in Sanskrit called, each structure has an inherent nature. So the soul structure has the eternal position, servant of Krishna, eternal nature, pure love, and eternal function, service. He cannot get out of these three things. Whether he serves Krishna under Yogamaya or he has to serve in the Mahamaya. He cannot stop this. Service cannot be stopped and pleasure seeking cannot be stopped. It is natural. So in the structure of the jiva, there is no ignorance. Never. Never. It is pure Satchidananda coming from Krishna's energy. Jiva Shakti. There is a time, but there is no calculation. You cannot calculate. I mean, we are never born, we are eternally exist, but still we have to say there is a time when I was in material world, there is a time when I went to spiritual world. I cannot say when the ignorance started, I don't know. But I can say that I was initiated by spiritual master, I started chanting and I started liberating myself. I can say that there is a time that I got liberated. There is a time I obtained the seed of Krishna consciousness from Guru.
Ontologically, was there a time before we actually contacted the material world when we had this spiritual?
What do you mean time? When you say time, what is time?
I'm talking about the beginning.
What is beginning? There is no beginning of the soul. Soul is eternal. Material world is also, material nature is also eternal.
So
it has a manifestation. Yes. No. We eternally exist in Krishna's creation.
So we have been in and out?
What do you mean in and out? You are trying to put it into physical proximity. It cannot be explained like this. Because the tatastha region, the line between the ocean and the shore, where is the line? Every time you go, there's a different waves coming in. Where is the line? It's inconceivable. Literally inconceivable. The tatastha region where the jiva comes from, it's inconceivable. It is not a physical proximity. Even we say Golok Vrindavan is the Goloko Eva Nivasati Akhila Atma Bhuta. In Golok Vrindavan is the highest realm. Then comes Mahabhaikunta, Dwarka, Mathura. Then comes another expansion of Vaikunta, like Ayodhya, like this. Then comes Vaikunta. But it is not actually physical proximity. It is demarcation by the relationship. Demarcation by the relationship. Who has what relationship, that's how the whole abode is created. Like Dhruva planet. Whole planet is created for Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva planet is not a physical proximity, even though it is explained like that. But when this material world dissolves, Dhruva planet is still there. So is it Vaikuntha or not Vaikuntha? It is Vaikuntha. Certain things, it cannot be explained by physical proximity. That's why Prabhupada is so genius. He's stressing this point that we should think how we should get out, what is the easiest way, how soon one should prepare, how desperate one should be just to get out. And those who are advanced, they understand the whole concept of when we came, how we came, what happened, did we come or not come. That doesn't bother them at all. Who get most bothered? Those who are not spiritually advanced. They get the most bothered. I never saw a very advanced sadhu actually has a problem of this. Because it's inconceivable almost. I mean, is this deity is same as Golok Vrindavan Krishna? Yes and no. It depends on the perception. If you choose at that time,
so we can go.
If you choose, unless you have a pure love, when you have a pure love, you go back home, you don't.
We can't.
No.
So that means we have eternity existed here, right?
No. When you say here, what does it mean here, in this temple?
The material world.
Where is the material world? Is this temple material world or Vaikuntha? Both exist here. Prabhupada said every temple is Vaikuntha. But it depends on the perception. Vaikuntha is a state of consciousness, is a pure goodness, where three modes is absent. You can have right in this world right now, in this temple, you can have a pure goodness without three modes, effective. That is Vaikuntha. But you are within the proximity. If you have a pure love, if you have a pure love and you are actually serving Krishna in that pure love, then Krishna says, Prabhupada says, no, you don't. But free will is always there. Free will over there is not same free will as here. In the jail we have a free will. What free will in the jail we have? It's a lunch time. If you don't go for lunch, you say after 1 hour, I want lunch. They don't care. Because that's the law of the jail. And you have to abide by it. But you still have a free will, no? But outside the jail, you can eat whenever you want. Your own house, you just cook or whatever. So free will has a different manifestation in different level of our existence. Make sense? When you say we can come back, why would you even think? The material nature, that idea is not there in pure love. Pure love has no trace of material nature. So that free will is still there. But that doesn't mean you will be influenced by the mind. Here is easy. Like in Calcutta we saw there is an American embassy, consulate general. near the ghetto, you know, nearby ghetto area. But within that boundary wall, it's ruled by America government. Nothing to do with Calcutta. But you go outside, now can they come to Calcutta? Yeah, they can get out of the gate and they come in. But once you are in America, you don't go to Calcutta. Yeah, you have to really fly out. So demarcation is different. But that embassy is also America, in a sense.
So why can't we conclude that we are always the material, influenced by the material from the time we were speaking?
From the time, that will be speculation. There is the divine will of Krishna. Everything runs by the divine will of Krishna. And if you know the nature of Krishna, is the most loving father, most loving friend, most loving anybody ever thought of. To conclude that Krishna can do anything harm to us is out of picture. There's never a time Krishna will do anything that harmful to us. Krishna always the most loving, most compassionate. All the devotees, even Prabhupada's compassion, it's Krishna's compassion coming through him. Krishna chose to use him to manifest that. That if you say Krishna would put you here for since time for from beginning, it will be a Krishna.
But I say my individuality.
No, but it is Krishna's arrangement. Everything is Krishna's arrangement. Everything is Krishna's arrangement. In the beginning, everything is Krishna's arrangement. The personality of Krishna, when we dig more, is the most beautiful, most attractive, most playful, most compassionate, most magnanimous. You see all this quality, it's Krishna, within Krishna 100%. There is never a possibility Krishna be contaminated by Maya nature. Never possible. Maya does not exist in Krishna. It is Krishna's energy, but not in him. It is also inconceivable. How is his energy? Maya cannot exist without Krishna. But where Maya exists in Krishna? Where? Inconceivable. Like Prabhupada gave an example that you have a neem tree grows on the bank of Ganges, and mango tree grows on the bank of Ganges. But the mango tree producing sweet mango, and the neem tree, Prabhupada translates, hellishly bitter. I never heard that translation, hellishly bitter. But they're both sucking the same water. So similarly, everything is coming from Krishna, but every energy has a ghatan structure. And ghatan creates or produces the inherent nature of that structure. So, spiritual potency has spiritual nature coming from the structure. Material nature, material potency has a material structure. And from that structure, it comes whatever the modes we have seen. There's nothing wrong. Like a fire burn is nothing wrong. That's the nature of the fire. If I touch my hand, that is my problem. It's not the problem of the fire. Fire is being cruel. No, fire is not cruel. That's what it's made of. So material nature made of like this. We have to be educated that material nature is always going to disturb us, keep us away from Krishna. This is our duty. So when we become serious, then she comes to test us. Oh yes. Because so many people can say, oh, Jatari Prabhu, I love you. And you never met this person, say, I love you. Very good. But then when you really need something, you see he's not there, or that person is not there. So what kind of love? And then you see he's telling the other person, I love you. So what kind of love is that he's telling, but it doesn't act? So when we say we love you, Krishna, Maya should test us. Make sense? I mean, I went through tough time in my life too. And Maya must test us. Because if the test is not there, where is the proof of loyalty? That I'm really want to give myself to Krishna's service. I really want to serve, I really want to follow Prabhupada. Where? Test has to come. Test makes us stronger than before. This is practically we see that. Test has to come. Was the Giriraj Maharaj asked Prabhupada, are you being ever tested by Krishna? Prabhupada said, of course. When I was in householder life, Krishna was testing me every day by taking things away from me. I was a manager in the Bose laboratory, then some problem came, I had to change, go to Allahabad. Everywhere Prabhupada was narrating, like every time was Krishna was testing him. And then everything is gone from him. Then he came to the West, he started ISKCON Society and things started growing so big. Now Prabhupada told to Giriraj Maharaj, now Krishna testing me by giving me so many things. So Mother Joyasri, she gave she bought a big jacket, coat. It was a very expensive coat or something like that. She lives here sometime, I think 6 months. So Jayadatta Maharaj told me that story. He was there with Prabhupada when her father gave this coat, expensive coat. So Prabhupada looked at it and immediately he prayed to the Lord, my Lord, you're giving me all these expensive things, please protect me, otherwise what will happen to me if you don't protect me? Please, I'm scared of you, Maya. What's got to do with the coat? But Prabhupada is so cautious. For a little coat, I mean, it's not a little coat, it was an expensive coat, whatever it is. But still, he was so, always so careful. He's very alert. It's for us to learn that how he's always cautious. Where am I? Am I fully Krishna consciousness? Am I fully dedicated? It's for us, it's such a good lesson. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Finally having some relief and some bliss.
Yes.
To go back to that. I don't want that.
Yeah. It makes sense? It has to be like that. Test has to come. We should not be afraid of the test. Because test actually pushes us to take shelter of Prabhupada and holy name more and more. And actually test is good because if they would not come, I'm not saying for others, but probably I'm so bad, I would not probably think seriously. So test is good in that sense. I'm not saying this is what, test is not good, actually it makes you very bewildered, intelligence gets disturbed. But it is good in a sense because we become more close. Like that incident happened in LA. And then Prabhupada introduced the Nishinga prayers because devotees were nervous. And then immediately Prabhupada said, all the temple they should chant Nishinga prayers. So we still chant Nishinga prayers since that time. It's very nice. So test comes and then implementation, new idea implementation comes. In our sadhaka life, if you look at very deeply what we do in 11th canto, 27th verse, very sweet. Jato saddha matkadasu nirvinna sarva karmasu. Whatever experience we do, we must reflect. Advancing means we must reflect why this happened to me. And from the reflection, then we extract. You know, when this happened, I was crying and praying to Prabhupada and Krishna. I was so devastated. I was actually crying and praying. It was very good actually. I felt more close than now. That's called extract. You abstract those reflections, what happened. Then you conceptualize. I want that feeling that I'm very close to Prabhupada and Krishna. I want that feeling. Then you modify. Do it again. Now in future, that experience is very, very good. So then it makes sense why Mother Kunti prays like this and other. She's not looking for danger. She said she's looking for danger because danger gave something so high So danger is wanted. it's actually any advanced devotee will want that. Anything. Like one devotee was asking, I think, last week, that why Kunti prays that I don't want the children, but they are Mahabhagavat, all these Pandavas. I don't want any relative. It's not that she doesn't want those, but her attachment to Krishna is so deep, emotionally tied, that she, the nature of that love is that you never can come to the end. More you get that love, you come to the end and you open the door, at least you feel like you got it, and you see another 10 miles to run. It never ends because it's unlimited. It's unlimited. It's not like a mundane calculation, oh, it's never end. No, no, it ends, but it's not, there is never end of that experience, more and more and more and more. It's not like they are like a poor beggar of this world that they need more. Not that kind of more. They have, but the nature of Krishna prem is that it will never end. Mahaprabhu says, anandam ambudi bordhanam, pratipadam, every step, purna amrita ashradhanam. That's why Prabhupada gives that logic in the translation of that verse. He says, have you ever seen any ocean increasing the water? He asked that question in the audience. No. If ocean would increase, Atlantic or Pacific, the whole America would be underwater. But this Krishna consciousness, pleasure, ocean, happiness, ocean, is always increasing, Mahaprabhu says. Anandam ambudhi vardhanam. Vardhanam means ever increasing. When it will end? Never. This is difficult because we come from a, you know, angle of Maya that I made some profit. How much more can I make? Okay, 10 times, 100 times, but then what? There's a limit we are giving. We think that there has to be some kind of a cap. Cannot grow anymore. That is difficult. That's why it's difficult, Krishna consciousness explanation. No, it is unlimited. Unlimited means unlimited. That's what it boils down. Okay, we're going to read a little more. Is that okay? It's a very sweet explanation. I'm sorry, we went a big detour. When in the course of wandering amongst the higher and lower species in the material world, a living entity is able to behold a Vaishnava absorbed in the flowing transcendental mellow of Sri Krishna Hari Bhakti or devotional bhakti. In other words, if Prabhupada was not there, it would be difficult to become Krishna conscious. Somebody who is drinking the nectar of spiritual transcendental bliss, by their association we can progress. Not any association. Somebody who is serious and literally tasting Krishna consciousness, also distributing both quality. Because I may go to a rich man, he's multi-billionaire. Is he willing to share? No. Then what good is it? So it has to be both. One who is drinking, who has the access of unlimited, also is eager to give. Both has to be there. That was the Prabhupada. That's why Prabhupada is very special. By chanting Sri Krishna Nam, the living entity gradually becomes free from his conditioning, step by step. And more we progress, this question that you have, it will be like more clear. But chanting has to follow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, without chanting, and if you really say, oh, I'm chanting for so many years, I'm not getting clear, then increase the chanting, Prabhupada says. If the lust is not conquered by chanting, 69, then Prabhupada said, increase. Because according to the disease, you have to also increase the medicine power. Same medicine is not applicable for everybody. Like in my case, my disease was severe, so I'm chanting a little more because I need it. That doesn't mean others should take less than 16. That's not what I'm promoting. Chanting minimum is 16, but should not be less than 16. Then he says, step by step, he then gains his intrinsic transcendental form, becomes qualified to taste the pure and spiritual mellow of direct service to Sri Krishna. Then question comes, is there any reference from the Veda to verify what you are saying? Because we can say, Krishna is Supreme Lord. Prabhupada asked this on the groundbreaking ceremony of Bombay Temple. There was no temple, so they had a little class. And Prabhupada, and there was about 15-20 people gathered. Mahamsa Maharaj was there. So Prabhupada says, so Krishna is Supreme Lord. How do you know Krishna is Supreme Lord? So one devotee says, well, Prabhupada, you are saying Krishna is Supreme Lord. So that's very good, but need more. He said, then another devotee said, well, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself claimed, I am the origin of everything. From me everything comes. Nobody is equal or above. So many verses. Ahami sarva jagyanam. And if you don't know my position, he said, you will fall down. 924, the famous verse. Ahami sarva jagyanam bhukta cha prabhur eva cha. And then so many, so he said, Prabhupada said, this is very good. Something more. Then another devotee thought, he said, that all the acharyas are agreeing that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada said, that is very nice. But something more. That's why don't forget the way Prabhupada made it. Interactive, you know, he wanted to know, like, how do you believe? If you say Prabhupada, who is Prabhupada? My guru. Then Sai Baba disciple will say, my guru says he is Krishna. So then what do you do? You say your guru said Krishna is Supreme Lord. Sai Baba's disciple will say, my guru says he is Krishna. Then what do you do? So just only saying reference of guru is not enough. There has to be Shastra, Acharya backing. So then they could not figure it out. Then Prabhupada said, introspectively, you have to grow up with it. You have to have a faith that yes, I'm experiencing Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Acharyas are saying, Bhagavad Gita is saying, Prabhupada is saying, then our own development, it will establish with that faith. Yes, Krishna is Supreme Lord. Then, like my mother, it doesn't matter how much money you give, I cannot forget my mother because she had so much love for me and the quality that she had, and I grow up with it. It doesn't require money or anything to change. Introspective. So introspectively, we have to depend on Krishna every day and experience His presence when we are chanting, He's there, when we are in kirtan. We have to introspectively depend and take shelter. Take shelter. Take shelter like in Chaitanya Charitamrita introduction, Prabhupada writes, shelter means like a child. No, depend means like a child depends on the mother. And I was searching, you know, what is the child depends on the mother? So mother takes the child to the playground and the baby comes out of the stroller, baby is playing with the other children, but back of the mind, the baby always thinking my mother is there. He's not looking all the time, but knows that mother is there waiting for me. As soon as I'm done, I'll go with her. Like back of our every endeavor, Krishna is always there. Krishna is arranging everything. Krishna is the permitter. That conception has to be constantly with us. That is dependence means. Dependent doesn't mean laziness. I won't do anything. I didn't do everything. Yes, Prabhu.
What would be an example of somebody, someone introspectively experiencing Krishna? You know, devotees are, you know, Krishna's protecting or protection. Krishna's, you know, Yamuna Devi, she would always say, ah, there's Krishna magic, you know, something happens.
Yeah.
But what would be examples of a devotee saying, oh wow, that was Krishna's arrangement, or wow, look at that, look at how.
Well, believe or not, I still fall asleep when I chant.
What?
I used to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And on my own endeavor, for sure, it didn't happen. It is definitely Krishna that makes me not to fall asleep. Because I prayed for it. I prayed for it. And if I, what grace, what mercy He gives, if we don't be grateful for that, it can go away. Is there anything actually devotee's life that Krishna is not involved? Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked that question, that the most important out of six folds of surrender, six aspect of surrender, one is the intrinsic, and two is the functional, and others are internalization. One is intrinsic, that I have to maintain a belief that Krishna will maintain and protect me. That I have to do, not Krishna. That I have to constantly remember, yes, He will protect me, He will maintain me, He will. This I have to do. It's this, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is like a putting the wire in the outlet. Then illumination will start coming. In
that way.
Yes.
Said, okay. Would that be an example of that?
Yes. But practically in our life, we can experience this every day. This is not something artificial. This is genuine. This is genuine. When Mother, Abhiram Prabhu's second wife was it? Yeah, Shruti Rupa, when she went in the room of Prabhupada and he's going like this. And there was nobody else. So she thought, what he's doing? He's going like this. And like there was nothing in his hand, he was just going like this. So then she said, and Prabhupada turned back, oh, you are here. I said, yes, what was that, Prabhupada? She said, oh, Balaram, you know, he was holding this Dhenukasura and throwing it. Where Balaram came? This is Prabhupada is so absorbed, he's acting like Balaram. You know how Dhenukasura came? Dhenukasura was not killed by Krishna. There was right. No one demon was not killed by because he is a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prabhupada says, this is how Balaram killed Dhenukasura. And in his room he's going like this and throw it through the window. So she said, what is that, Prabhupada? Oh, you are here. Oh, there was Balaram, he pulled the Dhenukasura like this by the leg and he threw. She said, he's so absorbed, he's acting like Balaram. So like they're absorbed, they're literally, they see all the time. The Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, 21, 22 verse, define what Prabhupada was doing. So bindati atmani jat sukham. Sabrahma yoga yukta atma sukham akshayam asmute. The happiness that they feel, that they always act to please the Lord, to think about Him. The happiness they feel just by thinking of Krishna. And somebody may say, that how is possible, I'm trying to think of Krishna, but I don't feel happiness. How can Prabhupada feel happiness? He apparently looks like a morose in Amsterdam, and the devotees were a little nervous for 3 days, and then on the third day they asked Prabhupada, is everything okay? You are like very, seems like, looks like a sad. He said, no, I never been so happy in my life. I'm trying to be serious and reserved so that it does not burst out. But devotee thought he was like a, not happy. But he says, he's never been happy like this. So this happiness is real. It's tangible. But the person who experiences, only they, that person can tell. Even if he tells, how will you know? So the verse says in Bhagavad Gita 5:20, bindati atmani jat sukham. The happiness that he feels, it never has an end because it's directly connected with Krishna. But how the people will observe that person from outside is different. They will never feel. Was there one time Prabhupada had a runny nose or something? And they say, is it okay, Prabhupada, you have like a cold runny nose? He said, no, this is spiritual emotion. It appears like, I feel like to cry, but I'm trying to hold it. So it looks like a runny nose. It's not like that. I mean, and I'm glad, you know, they asked them, otherwise we would never know. We would never know. Babru Prabhu says, when Prabhupada cried on his his Guru Maharaj's Besu Puja 73 in LA. It was such a devastating that all the disciples were so affected by this Prabhupada emotion that they were ready to jump whatever he wants them to do. He said, but when you are there is one, when you hear is another thing, when you read is another thing, it's a far distance, distance, distance. So like this, when we hear how advanced devotee is feeling happiness, we have some idea. But when I experience or you experience, it's a different idea. Difference. But spiritual life is self-experience. Like that. Okay, we'll go a little more. So that question comes, is there a reference? Then he's giving reference. Yes, the living entity in his marginal constitutional form is a pure servant of Krishna. Answering your question. When he falls down into the darkness of nations, he has to accept gross and subtle material body. Liberation means to abandon these extraneous forms completely and to be situated in one's original spiritual sorup. The half sloka explained that the liberation means to abandon these other forms, to be situated in one's sorup. Attaining one's constitutional position is the necessity for the jiva. The work of liberation is complete the moment the jiva is released from the clutches of maya. Then so many activities begin once he attains his natural constitutional position. This is fundamental necessity of attainment, mula prayojan of the jiva. Freedom from intense misery can be called liberation, but following liberation there is another stage in which a person achieves spiritual happiness. Oh, we're coming to the same point. So we have a two transformation, we should remember. Two transformation. One transformation to get out of the material modes. That doesn't mean death of the physical body. Get out of the material modes means we are absorbing Krishna consciousness, serving. Whatever you do, you have to have a zero material desire. So if you say zero material desire, you have to go to school, you have a children, but don't have any material work, no material relationship. So how to do it? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained this very sweetly. Amaro bolite prabhu ar kichu nai. From today, my Lord, my children, your servant. They are not my children. Your servant, you send them for me to take care. My wife, my husband is your servant. You gave me under my care so that I can serve them as you. I'll earn money. I'll be a guard in your house. This is the practical way he's explaining. And if we don't transform our house into Krishna's house, there is a problem. Because at the moment of death, we have to take birth. It doesn't matter what level we think of. Everything has to transform for Krishna's pleasure. Why do I go to sleep? This body belongs to Prabhupada, this body belongs to Krishna. This body has to be utilized in a proper way. And tomorrow morning, when the body rests enough, it will serve better. So for Krishna's pleasure, this body needs to get rest. Everything has to, even we go to toilet, everything has to be for Krishna's pleasure, for Prabhupada's pleasure. Then, this is Krishna consciousness. Some misunderstanding is there. Maybe only those who are in the temple, they have a full time. No, no, in your house you have a full time too. Why you exist separately from Krishna? That conscious choice is up to each of us. We have to divert. This is what the summary given. At that moment, actually, you will start feeling a different experience. Different experience. When the living entity achieves liberation, that engagement itself is liberation. When the jiva achieves, you know, another fundamental was very interesting. One Maharaj called me from LA, Amala Bhakta Prabhu Maharaj. It was very nice. It's very nice talking with him, you know, very. His voice is so clear. So the spiritual happiness versus material happiness, there is a vast difference. not by the gradation of our own experience. That is the missing point. When the material happiness is not present, we feel that, what does that mean? Means, I don't know. I mean, I'm not hungry for sense enjoyment, neither I have any interest in spiritual engagement, but I'm in a liberation position. That position itself is dangerous. And Prabhupada explains this like a person got out of sickness, but he's still weak. And if he's not given medicine and food, he will go back to the sickness again. So, coming to this fast transformation that get out of the material nature is not enough. There has to be tangible spiritual activities like chanting, serving. There has to be, the whole house has to be changed for Krishna's house. If that is not changed, not possible spiritual experience. We'll fall back. We are serious in Sadhu Sangha, North Carolina, 3 days, heavy chanting, 64 rounds, and come back to Alachua, go back to sense gratification, 8 rounds, 4 rounds, no rounds. This happened to one person, and he was very honest. I said, why this happened? Because we don't transform. What was the difference over there? We had a prasadam in North Carolina, I was there this year. We had a prasadam, we also have prasadam in the house. What's the difference? There should not be any difference. Our day-to-day life, it should be for pleasure of Krishna. How to convert? If I cannot convert, if I cannot reform it, then I must take shelter of those who are advanced. There's so many Matajis like her, so many advanced male person also devotee. You can take their suggestion how they are doing it. And then if you transfer it, then automatically we have a lot of online listeners. There's so many taxes, they're listening. So for them, the whole house has to be for Krishna's pleasure. Everything we do. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was giving lecture, and one big minister came, and he cannot stop smoking. Now this is, I'm not saying you should practice that, but this happened. I'm saying how the engagement is there, how to reform everything for Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur noticed every few minutes, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he has to go outside. And he has to smoke because he's not allowed to smoke. You know, it's like a disrespect. So he spent 15 minutes outside, 15 minutes inside. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur noticed. So in the next day morning, he told his disciple, go get some hookah. You know hookah? The kind of tobacco thing. So go get some hookah and put it right in front, and I want him to sit here and smoke. I don't want him to go out because he's missing the biggest thing in life, hearing from a devotee. So this minister didn't think of anything about it. So he comes. So he said, my Guru Maharaj Prabhupada said you should come and sit in front. So okay. He liked that. He came, saw a hookah. Because he goes outside and said, what this is? He said, he wants you to smoke here when you need. Don't go outside, please. He doesn't want you to go outside when he's speaking. And this minister started thinking, what's going on here? This is bad, I understand, but I cannot live without. You know, sometimes we have this. If some devotee has some bad habit, see how you can convert. So he regretted, and he's feeling, you know, thirst for smoking it. And the disciple actually lighted the tobacco things, you know. I don't know if you know, it's like a little, you know it, okay. On the top, you put a fire and tobacco, and then with the pipe, he goes, like some sound. You know? I saw in our village also, people smoke like that. So he's thinking to do it, thinking, but he feels guilty, you know. But the good thing with this, we should always remember, guilt should not come between Krishna consciousness and me. Guilt should come between wrongdoing and me. There's a big difference. Some devotees' case even, those who taken this process, guilt comes between that devotee and Krishna or holy name, chanting. That is the biggest problem. it actually diverts you from chanting. They have to thoroughly understand this concept. But today we are not discussing, just giving the hint. That guilt came in that person. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had a talk with him after that. And the guilt came in him, and he's thinking, this is not proper. He's a great sadhu. He met the Lord Karjan, the governor, so big. Those days to meet governor of British is like unbelievable. And all these big people are coming. The king of Tripura, every Gaur Purnima, some dignitary would come. And this minister is thinking, he's so well known, so vast knowledge. He has thousands of disciples. He's so special. He has done so much for me. What am I doing? Never thought that idea. I'm so attached to this tobacco and his giving. And he started like crying, like a baby, all of a sudden. Never cry like this. He's a minister. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur noticed that. He started asking, well, are you okay? He said, no. I said, why? You can smoke. He said, no, I feel really guilty that please help me. Please help me to get out of it. And he prayed. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, just giving a blessing then and there, that minister never smoked ever. Why? Because he wanted to get out. The mercy affected. We see the Prabhupada mercy sometimes don't affect because we don't want it. What Prabhupada came to give, if I really want it, then the mercy will affect. Like he told to Vishnujan Maharaj. The Vishnujan Maharaj says, you are so merciful to me. I feel very emotional when I chant. Prabhupada said, no, I am merciful to everybody. But you are taking it and appreciating it. That's the difference between you and others.
Who?
Prabhupada says that. Vishnujan Swami. So same thing to our case too. We don't want to give up the bad habit, you know. Not to chant is a bad habit. Not to feel inclination to chant is a bad habit. But if we really want to get out of it and we pray, then mercy will act. But desire has to come from within. The minister, he was a Kormi, he was not a devotee, just Kormi came to hear. But something happened to his heart that he really pleaded. That's a very nice example. Similarly, there was the one devotee, and Prabhupada came from a morning walk in Mayapur. You know, there's a lotus building, has a first step, then there's a flat floor, and then another step goes to the second floor. So Prabhupada always used to come there, and he would look back and talk a little bit, and then he goes to the other stairs. So something miracle happened. Jayavataka Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj, they were there. And he looked at one disciple very far. He said, why do you go prostitute? Why did you go to prostitute last night in Mayapur? This is a true story. Prabhupada, everybody was shocked. Nobody knew. Even he did not know. How Prabhupada knew? Very mystical. And he was like, embarrassed, humiliation, but in front of Prabhupada, he cannot hide. And like it's unbelievable how Prabhupada came to know. So he immediately came front and he started crying and he touched Prabhupada's feet. And he said, you should not go to prostitute. So and then he was so honest. I won't say the name, but he was so honest, so sincere to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, but I feel urges. What to do? He said, but you are married. He said, but you told me without idea of conceiving a child, I should not unite with my wife. So I don't want to unite. And then Prabhupada, for a moment he paused, put pause and his eyes was closed for a moment. He said, that's alright. You can unite with your wife when you feel urges. But don't go to prostitute. These are practical lessons Prabhupada taught us. So if somebody has some problem, they should pray to Prabhupada. It works. But it has to come from individual, our desire, we want to get out of that. Whatever it is. I feel like so sleepy. One day when he said, I feel so sleepy, I just cannot get up in the morning. What did you try? Did you pray? Did you really want to get out? First of all, you have to ask yourself, do I really want to get out? So those process works. But how it works, explanation is given. I mean, we see those acharyas, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, they practically I mean, so many examples now I am thinking. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this same example with different disciples, had some problem. And everything can be reconciled and purified if we are sincerely desiring to really serve and get out of the Maya. Then possible. You wanted to say something? No.
As before, when you were saying about the deity's home, our home, I was thinking of that song, Shila Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Grihate Goloka Bhaya, Jedino Grihe Bhajana Dekhi, Grihate Goloka Bhaya, Charana Sidhu Dekhiya Ganga, Sukhana Sima Pai. When I see bhajan in the house, then house become golok. Those are real though. Those are real. Why not it happen in my life? Why not we ask like this? If we ask like this, then Krishna will open the door, okay? Come forward. The encouragement, of course, I'm not blaming anybody. We should encourage also others. Because sometimes the material nature always discouraging us. It's natural. If any discussion discourages us to progress in spiritual path, it is not a Krishna conscious discussion. It is a Maya conscious discussion. Even though it's related to Krishna. I like those examples Prabhupada says, you know, when the disciple asked, Prabhupada, last night I had a dream of you. Then Prabhupada looked at him, yes. He said, in the dream you told me to take LSD. Prabhupada said, that was not me. That was Maya in my form. Prabhupada said, so, any discussion, even Krishna consciousness discussion, you think. If I think I'm discussing about Krishna, but it's discouraging us to chant and progress, that is not Krishna conscious discussion. There's a verse clearly says this. Nishandaha Siddhir Bhavati Banaiti Sangsaya Achyuta Sevinam. Doubt will come. If any discussion does not encourage us to progress further, is discouraged us to go away from bhakti, it is not Krishna conscious discussion. Because the nature of bhakti is always attracting to Krishna, lotus feet of Krishna. It is the nature of bhakti. How is possible we discuss about Krishna and we feel not encouraged to be Krishna conscious more? Then it is not. Sometimes this discussion already took place. They don't feel, oh, what happened in YouTube, this, that. Okay, if that discussion is not bringing you to Krishna consciousness and chanting more, then that is not Krishna conscious chanting. That is nonsense conscious chanting. This verse says this, Siddhir Bhavati Ba Naiti Sangsaya Achyuta Sevinam. If you doubt arising, if all this calamity is happening, that you don't feel like to chant, and that discussion going on, that discussion is not Krishna consciousness. This is how verse explain. So whatever it is, YouTube or TV or any discussion, if it is not bringing us close to the lotus feet of Prabhupada and Krishna, it should be rejected immediately. And before contemplation starts, should be rejected as well. Okay, we're going to read a little more. My iPad closes quick. Sri Krishna's own word, this is now establishing this point. Sri Bhagavan said, I am not controlled by those who perform yoga, study Sankhya philosophy, perform religious duties or pious activities, study the Vedas, perform penance and austerity, practice renunciation. What was the first word you remember? I am not controlled by all this. What are those? Yoga, Sankhya philosophy, anything you do, Krishna says, he's not controlled by this. Then what is controlled by? Practice renunciation, accept sannyas, perform sacrifice, welfare activities, give donation in charity, practice fasting and other vows, perform jagna, chant confidential mantra, go on pilgrimage, follow all the rules and regulations for spiritual life. How about one who accepts satsang, devotee association, which destroy all material attachment, can control me. It's very sweet. What is that question asked by Narad Muni? My Lord, what is your telephone number? That was the Mahanidhi Maharaja's translation. It's not a telephone number. What is it? Where do you reside? But he says, what is your telephone number? He says, wherever my devotee chants my glory, that's where it is. Naham tishtami vaikunthe yoginam hridayeshuva tatra tishtami narada jatra gayanti madbhakta. Wherever my devotees are discussing about my glory, I reside there. Ramanujacharya's family, in that temple, there was no electricity those days. And Janmashtami night, so they wanted to celebrate, but in the middle of the night, heavy stormy weather, nobody came, no lamp, no ghee lamp, nothing. It's heavy wind and too much. But some devotee cannot give up, so he comes. He's through this road, dark road, there's no light, nothing. He found the door of the temple and tried to open, and he opened it. Anybody inside? He didn't hear sound. He thought he would come inside. He comes, sit down, took a kartal, mridanga, started chanting. After a little while, another devotee came. After a little while, another devotee came. On the third time, when the third devotee came, he asked, I have a question. We have come for who? To do what? What are we supposed to be glorifying, chanting for who? He said, for the Lord. How do you know Lord is here? So, well, it says that when you glorify the Lord, Lord is always present. He said, but how do we know? He said, what access you have right now with the senses? You cannot see. You can only hear. So let's chant. He said, but can't we ask that question? So they asked the question, my Lord, can you hear that you hearing our? There was a rumble sound. Yes. In Sanskrit, of course, not in English. But yes, I hear everything you all are discussing. Go on, glorify. They were like so shocked. Whoa! They started crying and chanting whole night, and thousands of people came. And then eventually the stormy weather of God, everything. So there's many evidences like this. Whenever we discuss, Krishna is there. But we want tangible evidence. Why? Why you want tangible evidence? Why not have a faith on that word? So like this. Astanga yoga can slightly satisfy me indirectly, but sadhu sangha controls me completely. Sadhu sangha controls him completely. Just as jewel or crystal reflect the color of the object with which it is in contact, so a person develops qualities according to the company he keeps. You know, anybody knows who spoke this?
Anybody knows what?
Who spoke this? No. Hiranyakashipu. Srila Prabhupada put that in Nectar Devotion. He writes, Hiranyakashipu spoke this. And Rupa Goswami Pad, he told Prahlad, all this quality of my enemy you inherited because of association. It's not possible you get it. And Rupa Goswami Pad took that. Oh, Hiranyakashipu knows the secret. How you become advanced? You know, one gentleman, he asked me in the shop. It's the same. I always contemplate on Nectar of Devotion. You know, it's very sweet. So he asked me. He said, can you tell me what is my destiny? I said, yes, I can. You give me the 10 people name who you associate whole day night. I'll interview them and I'll tell you where your destiny is there going. Where you'll end up with in life, I can tell you. I have to interview all these 10 people that you associate. So how? Because that's how it is. The Nectar of Devotion says, whoever we associate, if they are actually philosophically inclined and intelligent, Prabhupada says, two things require in his translation, Prabhupada writes. One has to be intelligent, liberal mind, and philosophically inclined, means interest to hear about Krishna. Then guarantee you will get perfection and devotional service. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If one is liberal and intelligent and philosophically inclined, you will guarantee he will get spiritual. So we have to be liberal and intelligent and philosophically inclined. So Hiranyakashipu said this, but Rupa Goswami took this. Jasya jat sangai pungsa manibat set sat tad gune. He told this to Prahlad Maharaj. It's not possible something you're learning without association. No, you are associated with somebody. I need to know where, when they come. He knew. It's not possible anybody has an intelligence on his own to become Krishna conscious. It is coming from some association. Yeah. It's very sweet. Therefore, by keeping association with pure sadhus, one can become pure sadhu. So, if we become if we associate with Prabhupada through his teaching and his instruction of practicing, we'll become like him. In Indradumna Maharaj, because I'm going to see him this weekend, he was with Prabhupada in Paris. Prabhupada gave a lecture, and there was a new bhakta. He just joined yesterday. And after the class, Prabhupada asked, any question? And he raised hand. And so some sannyasi said, first sannyasi, then you all. But Prabhupada noticed. He said, that's all right, let him answer. See, he just joined. That's all right, he can speak. What is your question? He said, I want to become like you. And everybody said, whoa, don't ask this type of question, you know, like that. Prabhupada said, that's a very nice question. And then Prabhupada said, why do you think I'm traveling all over the world and teaching this? Why? Because I want you all to become like me. You all have to become pure devotee of Krishna. That's very sweet. Very sweet. Because otherwise, what's the purpose? Where we're heading? We have to come to that platform. It's not a false pride or anything. It is that we have to become pure enough in order to enter into the spiritual world.
Where are you going to see
him? Tuesday morning. In Berlin Airport.
The Woodstock thing?
Yeah.
Is this the first time for you going there? Yeah.
Be careful though. If he wants you, he'll get you. I did not know him well. We came to the shop, 5 hours talking. Oh. Done. And embraced me so many times and talked to me like encouraged such way, and then he sent texts, all kinds, my God. You'll be sold once he's so contagious. It's very sincere, advanced soul to me. Very sincere.
How long are you going to be there for?
Oh, we are done.
How long are you going to be there for?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. That's really nice. Yeah. Chatur is going too, right?
He's leaving 27th. Maharaj is so kind. Believe me, you know, you may think like he's very, you know, he's so busy and others. But the way he said, Pran Govinda, I will come to Berlin Airport to pick you up. You be there on 2nd. It's like, you know, you feel like, oh, you don't have to, you know, feel like, but he's so down to earth. Very humble. So you have to bless me. You have to bless me. We are, I think, about...
Tell me that story about the question, or somebody else told this. About the question, I was in Paris, I want to be like you, Prabhupada.
Prabhupada says, you remember what I said?
Yes.
Say it, Mother.
No, but he's asking who told that story.
Indradumna Maharaj.
He told you that?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
Well, he was the one who asked the question.
No.
No.
New bhakta.
Oh, new bhakta.
Just joined yesterday. And they thought it was not a proper question to become like Prabhupada. Prabhupada thought it was a proper question. Yeah. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.
Krishna Hridaya Bhutale.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Thank you. Thank you.